KCBS News Time, 9:32.
If you were with us at 6:20 this morning, you heard us talking with the 2017 Turing Award co-recipient John Hennessy. If you missed it, you can go to kcbsradio.com and listen in. Well, he didn't win it alone. Right now, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by his longtime collaborator and co-recipient, David Patterson, UC Berkeley Professor Emeritus of Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences. Congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot.
You guys are responsible for my smartphone, my smart refrigerator, all the cool stuff over the last 30 years. Give us your impression of how things have evolved.
Well, it's pretty exciting. When John and I did this 35 years ago, it was extremely controversial. It was like talking about evolution versus divine intervention. There were debates from coast to coast about whether what we were doing was heresy and was setting back computing or was the future.
Yeah, let's talk about that a bit, because what you guys posited back then, and it all did come to pass, so you won the debate, was a reduced instruction set computing. The notion that you could do with fewer lines of code, you could make a more compact or, I guess, more efficient sort of a device, a chip, to do the computing. What was the germ of that idea? What led you up to it?
I had actually taken a sabbatical at a company that made big computers, and what the microprocessor industry was doing, because they didn't understand computer design that much, is just imitate the big guys. And John and I thought it didn't make sense to do what they were doing. It's basically they had a software talks to hardware with a vocabulary, and they had a very big vocabulary with like $5 words. And we thought for the microprocessor, it made more sense to have a reduced vocabulary with simpler words.
What do you want to see tackled next? I mean, do you think that we are on the right path to making things, you know, better, smaller, stronger, and using less energy?
Yeah, so one of the exciting things that's happened is I led four RISC projects in the 1980s, and then starting in 2010, my colleagues at Berkeley decided to take another shot at it, so they built what they called RISC-V, since it was the fifth one. And this time we're trying to make it an open architecture like Linux, like open source software, and see if we could rally a whole industry around a free and open instruction set.
Yeah, this is a really interesting area, and it'll get geeky fast, but that's okay. We'll bear with you because because around here, more than enough people know way more than Holly and I know about this stuff. But the point being that the hardware has always been sort of closely held, right? I mean, whether it came out of Intel or somebody else, the hardware was the hardware. What you're talking about is sort of turning that on its head and saying, "Hey, world, take the hardware and run with it."
Yes. And a reason that it's particularly important is in the news there was a lot of press about the Meltdown and Spectre attacks. And although Meltdown is something we can figure out how to fix, Spectre is a really scary attack, and we don't fully understand how to protect from it. And so what's great about RISC-V and it being open is not just one company can work on it like Intel, but we can get everybody in the world to work on it because there's no restrictions on who can work on it.
So software, you know, we have the image of somebody sitting around banging out code. With hardware, it's a little different because you still have to make the thing. You have to physically stamp one of these things out, so to speak. Is that getting easier, faster, quicker turnaround because of RISC computing?
That's part of it. It's, you know, they used to say it cost $100 million to make a chip. A big part of that was the software piece, because we are providing a complete software stack as well as the open architecture. That part goes away. And we've done some innovations at Berkeley that have made this easier to build hardware than it used to be. So it's getting easier. It's still hard to do. That's why they call it hardware, I guess.
Well, we've enjoyed the conversation. Holly and I are dying to know one thing, though. We do know that at Cal, Nobel laureates get parking spaces.
Free parking.
Yeah. What about Turing Award winners?
Well, first, somebody warned me about that. I actually commute by bicycle every day, and if you actually got a parking spot and didn't use it, that would build up a lot of animosity with your colleagues. So I'm not going to get one.
Well, at least you can lock the bike up close, we hope.
Yes.
Thanks for taking the time with us, and congratulations again.
Great. Thanks very much.
That is Cal Professor Emeritus David Patterson. He and former Stanford University President John Hennessy. Hennessy, of course, was a computer scientist before he became an administrator. They have shared in this year's Turing Award. The computer world knows that as the Nobel Prize of Computing. They split $1 million as their award. KCBS News Time, 9:37.